gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It is Thursday night, the 26th day of December, 2019. And, oh, I will tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it was a marvelous day of rest for me and excitement that Lord Jesus had been born. And if you think about it, I talked about it a little bit the other night. You had to go, and they had to go out on the road and go back to their place where they were born to be taxed. And in those days, you had to pay with the cash. It wasn't any kind of payment plan or whatever. You had to do it, you know. And I suppose if you didn't pay in those days, it was, you know, off with the head. But I will say this. From a humble beginning, you have our Father in Heaven's only begotten Son come to this planet, and because of what He did, He can wash you clean of your sins. And as I started out and talked about the other night, there is power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And if you'll just repent of your sins and ask Lord Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior, He will start to wash you clean, and you'll have everlasting life with Him in heaven. If you're to lose your mortal coil, if you're to shuffle it off, if you're to get shot in the head in some kind of a gun confiscation, whether it be in Virginia or if the drones in Northeast Colorado outside of Denver have spotted you and targeted you for hellfire missiles or for yard farming. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute, because we've been talking about it here on Old Hawk Show since 2004, haven't we? But let me say this. You know, I'm going to go to Luke 21 again, because Luke 21 has the portion that is probably very apropos at this time. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall there be in diverse places. And yes, you see the Mammoth Valley quakes today. Did you see that? Have you seen all of Cascadia, all the different things starting to pop? And I'm going to talk more about what I've seen on Mimic overnight and what I'm also looking at there. And in addition to what Brother Quayle is bringing to you about all of the changes that are happening and just incredible stuff, I think there are some that are trying to enhance or further along all of this. And famines and pestilences. A lot of talk about Ebola. We got flu rampaging pretty good right now, too, in the United States. And I'm going to tell you what. We've talked about this before. If the bird flu and the swine flu combine, then you got a hemorrhagic type fever. Probably similar to what was done in the old World War I, you see, the old Spanish flu, which your government researchers and DARPA and those types dug up corpses in the permafrost in Alaska that died of the Spanish flu and took those bugs out of their lungs that were preserved so they could recreate that, you see. So famines. You're starting to hear a lot about food, and it's disappearing. And recalls of this is bad, and recalls of that, shortages of this. You go to Walmart, or you go to this place, and they don't have the items. Lady J from the Blue Ridge was talking about it today. She's talking about how certain things that used to be available in the store brand and that kind of stuff disappearing. Don't even have it on the shelves, and the shelves in a lot of places are empty. In some, they're still good. So while you can, prepare and buy it. But buy the cans and buy it smart. Pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you. and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye, listen up. Listen up out there, all you people gathered around. I know some of you gathered around at the coffee, drinking coffee at the kitchen table or eating a little supper and you're listening in the background. And oh, incidentally, hello to all the good people in the Crossroads. All my peace officer buddies and friends down in there. Those are people who keep the peace. Those are the good police, the good sheriffs, the good deputies. The good people that are the peace officers, like my friend Greg Evenson used to talk about. He was a peace officer, not a law enforcement officer. He kept the peace, and then in so doing, if somebody violated the law, he would arrest them. That is true. We're not talking about laissez-faire. We're talking about sensibility. We're talking about keeping the peace. And not automatically going down the line, you know, at 32 miles an hour, you know, in a 30-mile zone. You know what I'm saying? And then charging somebody $250 on a ticket. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the setups and the con jobs and all the stuff and the throw the stuff in the back seat and then you arrest them on the door. We're not talking about all of that. We're not talking about the throwdown. We're talking about old-fashioned police, old-fashioned deputy sheriffs and high sheriffs, and we're talking about good people who want to protect and defend their communities. And incidentally, those sheriffs, those high sheriffs are the most powerful constitutional authority in a county. They supersede the federal government, and don't ever forget that. And you good sheriffs in Virginia out there as well, who are declaring and having your counties declared Second Amendment sanctuaries, and you're talking about deputizing thousands upon thousands of your citizens to protect them from an overreaching, communist, demon-possessed government bought and paid for by Bloomberg, Soros, and Rothschild, allegedly, all right, to try to take the guns away from the people in old Virginia, and the people in Kentucky, the people in Georgia, the people in Tennessee, the people in Chicago, the people in upstate New York, the people in Kansas, the people in Texas, the people in Mississippi, the people all up and down the land, Colorado, California, Washington State, Oregon, even Montana and places like that. They want to take your gun because they want to grind you. So I'm going to tell you what, listen up. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But listen up, verse 18, red letter edition. That's what Jesus says in the red letters, Luke 21. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Do you see what he's telling you? He's telling you in verse 16, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. But then he says in verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Well, if they put you to death, how is that? Then he tells you, doesn't he? Lord Jesus tells you in verse 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. Oh, let me tell you what. And if you go on down the list here, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and many hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is a war, ladies and gentlemen. It's a war. And you've got the Luciferians. You got those. You got Lucifer himself and the minions that support him. And their motto is Ordo Ab Chao. They want to create the chaos to the maximum effect and cause the major death so that they can have a blood sacrifice and take your soul or attempt to give that power to Lucifer so he can walk on this planet in a little g god, little g, little g, little g. Lucifer, you're a little scumbag, little g is what you are. Antichrist, a fake counterfeit is what he's going to try to do of our Lord Jesus, the true Messiah. So make no mistake. Because let me tell you what, this thing in Virginia, the thing in Colorado, incidentally, years ago, they did the Mount Guardian. They did all the different things to basically change Colorado over to a federal capital of the United States. They've done the underground, all of that. You can go from, you know, deep in New Mexico all the way up into the Black Forest and all of that, and under the Denver Airport, you know, the Cheyenne Mountain, all of those kind of things. And then, of course, the maglev trains in the tubes, the vacuum tubes. I've told you all over the years that exists, and I knew guys that rode that from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas to Fort Huachuca in Arizona to visit a relative who was there at the military intelligence school down over there, or worked in that area. Actually, they were working in the thing where they intercept all the, stuff out of the air and match the voices and that kind of thing, you know. Like how they, in the old days, picked up Pablo Escobar and those kind of cats. You know what I'm saying? But let's just get back to the point. So Denver and all that's been around for a long time. And then Brother Evenson, when he was on the program, and God bless him, I think about him every day. And I talked to his wife, Liz, who's still strong up there in the Upper and in Wisconsin area as well. And God bless you if you ever get a chance, give her a call or write her a letter. And you can contact me at Hawk, RadioHawk777@hotmail.com, RadioHawk777@hotmail.com. And I'll pass on an address. Send her a card. Send her a check. Send her $10, whatever it might be, because I'm going to tell you what. Brother Greg, through all of that time period when he was in the hospital, kept this peace officer's mentality, and he knew where he was going to go, and we used to talk about it in the Lord Jesus. When you know that you're with him and he's with you and you know where you're going to go, it gives you strength. It's just like my good friend, the nice lady out there in the middle of the night who goes to shut the chicken coops up at midnight on her farm. And she's, well, let's say she's, in her 60s. And she says, Hawk, you've taught me that there's power in the blood of Jesus, and when I go out there in the middle of the night, I'm not afraid because Jesus is with me. And you've taught us how to live strong and how Lord Jesus is the one that gives us the strength. So let me just say that to you again. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Now, There's been other places that have been capitals or possible capitals. Atlanta's another one, all right? There's all kind of deep underground, and you can get on these trains. Like I said, the guys went from to Fort Huachuca from Fort Leavenworth, and you, it doesn't have the official train stop at the base commander's headquarters. No! You might have to go out to an outbuilding on the golf course. An old outbuilding or shack. Open that gate, but just you find out that's locked. Oh, that's interesting. So then you get in there, and then you go, and you got an elevator goes down. All of a sudden, you get on the tubes, and whoosh. About an hour later, you're 1,200 miles away. Yeah, just in an hour. And that's probably with a stop somewhere. So that exists underneath the United States. You also have places where submarines can come up into Nevada, up in the lakes, and then go out, and then go out through Santa Barbara, out underneath the continent. The same thing is, you got from like parts of Arizona, you've got lakes and stuff like Havasu City. You can do that. And then you can also, that's some of the spacecraft that the United States has can fly in and out like that as well. But let's go to what we're talking about. We're talking about martial law and all of that kind of thing. And let's go back into the 50s, you go back into the 50s and you had like Operation Garden Plot. And that went up into the 50s and 60s. That Army document, Operation Garden Plot, and then Operation Cable Splicer. Cable Splicer was to basically form all of the governments together into one command and control structure. If you go back into the 50s, and I forget the town, but there actually was a town where the U.S. Army took over and declared as a drill martial law in this one whole town in Texas in the 1950s. I forget the town's name, but it was done there. I have lived in a town where martial law was declared, Carbondale, Illinois, back during the riots, when there were 10,000 people on the lawn of the president saying, with torches and stuff, saying, close it down or we'll burn it down, after the Kent State. They declared martial law, made it illegal for any more than three people to congregate in one area. And there was a McDonald's restaurant across from the campus. And my young baby nephew, who was just like a young baby, and his mother and father were there. And then all of a sudden they were at an outdoor table at McDonald's watching what was going on across the street on campus. And all of a sudden, one of the graduate student friends of the baby's father came and sat down with them table. That was four people across the street. Illinois State cop, along with the National Guardsman, popped tear gas right into the McDonald's parking, into the McDonald's outdoor thing, because my nephew and his mom and daddy and a friend were four people gathered together within that deal, okay? I also remember that there was all kind of trouble, and there was the Battle of Cherry Street, and that there was a tank. And I remember that certain people might have even used a Molotov cocktail back in those days on that dadgum tank. And you don't think this stuff can happen, and this stuff never made the big news of the big papers in those days. But they had checkpoints coming in and out of town. I also recall where a trooper chased some kids back to a dorms back over there, those big tall dorms at SIU Carbondale. And the boys from Chicago were laying around the corner, and they ate his lunch, and they skinned him alive. None of this is good. Martial law is not going to be good. And this Governor Northam, this demonic commie rat, and the legislature bought and paid for by the followers of Lucifer the Lightbringer, Soros, Bloomberg, and allegedly the Rothschilds, but they're the ones that I think the other guys sometimes front for. But the Rothschilds do not equivocate because they believe that they're descended from Nimrod and Semiramis, the black magicians on this planet. So they're claiming descendancy, and they worship all aspects of Lucifer, the Lightbringer. So that's what you're up against. It's not up against stupid liberals or people, don't they understand? When are you going to get into your mind, like I said, about the third show in 2004? 2004! It's about the third show. It's close to the 4th of July that year. And I said, sharpen your K-bars and load your magazines and get ready to go, because these people want to eat your liver and steal your wife and steal your children and have their way with them and take all your property and all your goods. I talked to you about the other night about how Admiral Poindexter of the Total Information Awareness Network, the Office of Total Information, how they hired, the U.S. government hired Yevgeny Primakov, who had been the head of the KGB, to design an internal passport system, which has become part of the real ID push. I've got a driver's license out in Kansas that has a star up on the corner. Because I asked them, well, what if I don't take this real ID? They said, well, you won't be able to go into a courtroom. You will not be able to go into a post office without your passport. I said, then what's the point? That is the point, sir. You're going to be forced. You're going to be compelled to do any kind of business. You're going to have the real ID. Well, it ain't going to make any difference because I'm with Lord Jesus, you see. And our Father in heaven. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Psalm 144. But they hired Yevgeny Primakov of the KGB to do the internal passport system. They hired Marcus Wolf, who had been in charge of the Stasi in East Germany, where one out of every two people had been a tattletale and worked for the Stasi. So he designed the network that has become InfraGuard and other kind of things. There's other networks. And Total Information Awareness Network, they talked about having ins with the truckers. They talked about having ins with different groups. The people who clean your, like clean your carpets. The people who do different things. They're trying to infiltrate and get people as plumbers, carpenters, electricians. Certainly police officers, certainly deputies and things in the sheriff's department, and certainly all the federal agents. Now I remember talking to a certain deputy one night in Columbia, Missouri, years ago. And he and I were arguing, and I could tell he was it was a policeman of some sort, so I asked him. So he said, yeah, I'm a deputy sheriff, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So I said, are you going to want to come and confiscate, when they tell you to, your grandfather's rifle and shotgun that's been in your family since, I don't know, maybe when they came from the East Coast, you know, about 1812 or something. I have family that came to Illinois from the Pennsylvania years ago, and they came and they were the second white person in the entire area, and they bought a cabin cheap from somebody who put it there, and when they would wake up in the morning, they get to sense somebody's watching them, and there were the Native Americans peeking through the window at them to look and see what was up. So that's how early people came. So I asked him, he said, well, that don't give you the right to have a 50 caliber Browning machine gun or a bazooka. I said, well, then what gives you the right to have it then? Well, we're law enforcement. I said, no. I said, what you are is tyrannical in your thinking. And then you need to read why the Second Amendment exists. the Second Amendment exists so that old King George and his boys can't steal your liberty, can't tell you what to think, can't tell you what to speak, can't tell you what church to go to or to not go to, can't tell you that you got no right to assembly or to petition the government for redress agreements, that you have no right for security in your property or in your person against all lawful searches, or that they're going to torture you until you talk and say what they want you to say. That's why the Second Amendment enumerates the right to self-defense that our Lord in heaven has given you to protect yourself and your family. So when you see that the NRA lobbyists now are saying that Governor Northrup of Virginia is now going through the legislature to up the law enforcement budgets to create additional prison areas to arrest adults for having semi-automatic weapons, you see, that they're going to ban. And the ban is so broad and vague that basically it'll be any semi-automatic weapon that you own, whether it be AR-15 variant, an M4, whether it be an M1, whether it be, whether it be one of the semi-automatic, 410s, 416s, whether it be Ronnie Barrett's semi-automatic 50 cal, you know? Or whether it be a Desert Eagle 50 caliber pistol. Shot one of those one time. Boy, I hit the target real nice in the bullseye. But my hand was about 10 inches up in the air, you know? It was a big boom. But nevertheless, that'd probably take out a radiator, won't it? And if you can't get the Browning 50s, you can't get the inexpensive ones anymore. So you got to go into something that's thousands of dollars, or the new sniper guns, the new guns that are the 416s, the 410s, that kind of stuff, that have the same kind of energy and can reach out that far, and the speed of bullets and all of that. They're way too expensive and they're hard to get. And then I will tell you is that the bad alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, they're watching every 50 caliber round that ever gets sold. They watch all of them, and they've got, let me tell you something, they have, I remember, and I've shot at different various indoor ranges, outdoor ranges, and stuff for years, and they had an indoor range, somewhere around here where they used to have law enforcement shooting full automatic in the basement at the bowling pins and stuff. So those guys, everybody knew what was up. And years ago, about 89, 90, the ATF came in and duplicated and copied every record that they were not supposed to have, loaded them up to computers back then. Now the AI is on them. So when you see these drones the police in that part of Colorado don't know who is flying them. That's bullshit. Bravo Sierra. That's what that is. That's the same boys, out of the Black Forest and all of that. And the ones up north of Denver, in the letter agencies down underneath the ground up in there, too. And what Greg Evenson said they're doing is they're getting the targeting information to do yard farming. They don't have to go door to door if they know that there is a strong area of opposition in a certain county or town. They've got everybody basically targeted. Now with the AI and all that stuff that they've created where they can just watch everything out of the cloud, as whistleblower William Binney designed it, and then they took it away from him, and he was just trying to track terrorists. They made it to where they could track everybody in the dadgum world. Now the AI has it, and now the 5G, And now with that, they're going to be able to target you with your GPS on your device. Oh, yes. And they want you to live stream. They don't want you to have an antenna for TV or a cable off the pole. You're going to live stream it, aren't you? So that way, wherever you go, they can find you out, you see. And then when they get the ones they want, if they see a high concentration of what they say is insurgent resistance, then they're just going to bomb the crap out of the entire county. They'll lay to waste whatever they feel is the problem or whatever targets they have down rural route, 7 or rural route 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever it is, or old hillbilly road that don't exist, or the fire trail where there's a cabin up there. It'll just be whoosh, kaboom. These are killer people that work for the Luciferians in the high levels of the U.S. military, the U.S. federal EIEIO agencies, and that all comes on down the line, you see. Why? Because you take the money that the feds offer. And let me go back to the history of the thing. I've told you many times, and I'm going to stay on this for a little bit because people keep asking me questions. Well, Hawk, do you know anything about this thing in Colorado? And they say that Colorado is going to be, and it's going to be it's been the plan all along is to take the guns and to do martial law nationwide in some kind of pretext or another to do it. Not that President Trump wants to do it. I don't even know he's even aware of this. Most presidents are not cleared or privy to what the plans really are. So here, you go back. I told you about Garden Plot, Cable Splicer. All of that came up in. Then you had Rex 84. Well, let's see. Let's go. Let's start out here first. Freedom from War, the United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. Got your pencil handy? Department of State, Publication 7277. Department of State, Publication 7277. Disarmament Series 5, released September 1961. By the Office of Public Services, Bureau of Public Affairs. And you used to be able to buy it from the Superintendent of Documents at the U.S. Gov Printing Office for 15 cents. But, of course, that would now be $15. But then they would deny it ever existed. But in this, and hear this, peace officers, but hear this, so-called hut boys, the ones you got your war wagon and you got your special extra bump in pay like that deputy did in Saline County, Missouri, because he was the special deputy that was the tittle-tattle-tale to the EIEIOs up the line and telling on his officer buddies and telling on his officer ranking officers and his non-coms and his colonels and captains and what have you and his high sheriff. Tittle-tattling up the line for extra pieces of silver, you see. Well, let me tell you what. In that document, at the end of that document, they tell you that all of the police, sheriffs, and everybody and the U.S. military are going to be disarmed, and the power is going to be translated up to the United Nations troops. And at the same time, there will still be internal military, paramilitary police that will be around, and they will have substantial weaponry to put down any uprising or insurgency. Now, where do we see all of this? Rex 84. Oliver North had the program, didn't he? And the exercise was to test FEMA's ability to assume military authority. Rex 84, 1984, King 84, was too highly, so highly guarded that special metal security doors were installed on the fifth floor of the FEMA building in Washington, D.C., and the exercise required the following: suspension of the Constitution of the United States, turning control of the government over to FEMA, appointment of military commanders to run state and local governments. And then shortly before the November 2008 presidential election, George W. Bush signed directives which were embodied in the following U.S. Army document. This was as of 12 October 2008. Domestic insurgency and the declaration of martial law. I read this to you. Greg Evenson and I talked about this on air. Oh, I don't know, years ago. Do you remember when Greg Evenson and I broke a story and Greg came on and we broke the story about how there was an actual plan to transfer or force evacuation of all of the populations from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florabama, that area, and move them all north because of the oil in the Gulf of Mexico from the rig and also from the massive amount of Corexit chemicals and other suppressive chemicals that they put into the Gulf of Mexico to force the oil to the ground, and that all of that pollution and all of the dead birds and fish and all of the stuff and all the crawfish and the redfish and the crawfish and this and that and the other was going to get all destroyed, and they wanted to move the population. It was going to be done under FEMA. Well, Greg Evenson had the information from top people in that FEMA kind of world and DHS about how they had everything stored, and they were pre-positioning people in Tennessee and up further Louisiana and into Arkansas and all across the line up into Georgia and Alabama, North Alabama, and all of that to move people from the Gulf. And Greg put that out. We put it out on air, and by George, that stuff kind of blew up sky high. And then I'll tell you what, Greg and I had people that were after us back in them days. And Brother Quayle put it out too and had Greg on about it as well. And then you remember it was 2 years later, I believe, a year or two later, that Jesse Ventura came out with this TV show and he interviewed somebody who had been high up with FEMA or DHS who told him the exact same thing. Jesse put it out in his TV show 2 years later after Greg and I broke it on air. This martial law stuff is not new. It's one of the things I've been preparing for a long time. I remember back in the 90s, we were told that stuff was going to go down on a holiday and to be prepared because the red list was going to get clipped. And the red list are people that they know that they're just going to kill. They're not taking you to a camp. You're on the red list. It's going to be pop, pop, fizz, fizz. They can't take missile. Kaboom, helicopter gunship. Kaboom. You know, tank. Whoosh. So what I'm trying to say is this. This is one of the things you prepare for. Now, you're going to want some semblance of order if you can have it, because most people are not going to be prepared. But you see, if they do the EMP, that could be Kim. It doesn't have to be an ICBM. He just drops the EMP weapons out of the two satellites that he's got over the United States. Pops the EMP, knocks the power grid out, and then I-40 is a parking lot, I-70, I-80. I-95, I-5, I-10, they're all parking lots. 72, whatever it might be. I-57, you see. I-24. All parking lots. So what I tell you better get to knowing somebody with an old-fashioned cat diesel or a road grader or some kind of thing that'll still start regardless, or that you might have an old Dodge Power Wagon or an old Ford or Chevy truck that's got the old points, plugs, condenser and such on it, and a generator. And if you got some moonshine whipped up in an old thing that you could pour that alcohol into the gas tank and make her run down the road, and you don't have to pump gas because they're going to commandeer. So I'm going to tell you, this stuff is all real. I read to you out of this report many times, domestic and surgery, declaration of martial law. George W. Bush invoked over 500 after 9/11. Invoked over 500 executive orders and presidential decision directives that laid down the entire thing for martial law. But then some of them were just left in the background, but they are still extant and still enforced because nobody has rescinded any of it. And this document goes into great detail, goes into all kind of things. Detainee operations. Criminal Investigation Division Command, cordon and search, local government to establish and maintain credibility. PSYOP can assist counterinsurgency by reaching the following goals: countering hostile propaganda, improving popular support for the federal government, discrediting the insurgent forces to neutral groups and insurgents themselves, supporting defector programs. Oh, yes. Little 30 piece of silver and you jump ship. But the cordon and search, people say, well, they can't come and take all guns as necessary. Well, if they think there's going to be a large amount of resistance in a certain area, or if you start manning up into big groupings and that kind of stuff, they'll just take you out from above with the bomb. For example, joint patrols, co-location of military and loyalist police at police station will be used, you see, with military police, loyalist local police, and all the different items. And boy, oh boy, they're going to pay you double, triple, quadruple rate, and they're going to say, oh, we're going to take your family and put them in an unknown location, so you couldn't even be tortured to find out where your safety or your family's going to be. And then you'll be free to wander the countryside and do our bidding, you see. Oh, no, peace officers. You better be finding out or figuring out a way to get you a chicken coop or something outside of town or whatever. And a few of the good guys get together, put your own fuel depot, food depot. Throw a few silver dollars and step up in a little kitty cat corner up in there so that you can get yourselves and your families to safety if necessary. Because if they let you take your children and your wife or your husband or whoever, you take them to the safe place. And years ago, I was asked whether I wanted my name to be on the list to get through the lines. I said, hell no. That means everywhere if I went through a checkpoint, I'd be on the list. They'd grab me and take me to the safe place so that then somebody can be utilized as blackmail or as extortion to make the officer, the peace officer, do what it is he don't want to do. But the cordon and search operations may be conducted as follows. Facilitate visual contact between posts within the cordon. Provide for adequate patrolling and immediate deployment of the effective reserve force. Sealing the administrative center in the community occupying at critical facilities. That would include food stores, gasoline stations, drug stores, the break bulk plants for oil, natural gas, all that stuff. They're going to turn off the telephones, turn off the cell phones, turn off the water, turn off the sewers. They're going to flush you up out of your homes. They're going to tell you that there's a, and maybe they'll even release, you see, a bioweapon or something, or a chemical weapon. But in the plans that I heard from people in the Arkansas area years ago, back in the 90s, There were FEMA plans that actually detailed even where fire department, paramedics, local police, sheriffs, where post office employees were supposed to go to crossroads, and they were the ones that were going to be in charge of that crossroad or that checkpoint. And the law at that spot. And then back then they did drills where they had shooter drills in schools, grade schools and stuff in Arkansas. And they spirited the children away to unknown locations. And then brought them home. They hadn't even fed them lunch. And that happened a lot of places. That also happened, as far as I know, during certain drills in Colorado and other places as well. They're going to use your loved ones as the lever to make you become mad dog killers for the Lucys, all right? Don't go into the Luciferian night without a fight, you see. Put the cord on and search. Priority should be given to sealing the administrative center of the community, occupying critical facilities, detaining personnel in place. I remember in a big, large post office in Kansas City, Missouri, that I heard of a speech given that if 911, if there had been another terror attack or something would hit, that they would not be allowed to leave the post office. All right? And they said, well, bull crap, we're going to go get our kids at school. They said, your kids ain't going to be at school. They're going to be taken to safe places. And you won't know where to go. Well, we're going to get out of here. No, you're not, because the post office will be surrounded by troops. Why does the post office have? Because they have lists. They have addresses, names and addresses of people. Do they not? Preserving and securing all records, files, and other archives. Like who owns a firearm, you know? Who has the concealed carry permit? Who has the full automatic tax stamp so they can own an automatic weapon? Key facilities include administrative buildings, police stations, news media facilities, post office, communication centers, transportation offices, motor pools, prisons, and other places of detention. Schools and medical facilities. And if you remember back in the 90s, remember the guys found out that on the back of the road signs, they had the colored stickers, red, blue, green, brown, etc., some even black. That was a death camp. I saw one of those. And those were called tachymars. And they were to give to the red route, the blue route, the green route, to whatever the route it was. And they were giving directions on the back of the oncoming road sign to UN troops who wouldn't necessarily speak English. But they could say, oh, blue route, brown route, green route. You remember at outside of Indianapolis there at the train deal where it was the Beech Grove train rehab facility where they took care of big locomotives, you'd rehab them. You remember when they put in the windsock back then and they had videos of the colored lines, red, blue, green, you know, all that kind of stuff? They had big fences and they had put in brand new huge gas mains into these big facilities that rail cars could be pulled into. And then across the field away from that, and this is when that was a debunked facility, before they put another 10, 20 million bucks in it, they had across the facility one of the largest cold storage warehouses, in other words, freezers for meat, etc., in the Indianapolis area. I went to Beech Grove, and I looked at that years ago. That ain't the only places. They got them all over the place. You see all these new prisons. They've got, you know, an outer fence. Then they got a roadway around the whole thing. They got an inner fence. Now, some of them have got a third fence, so they got, like, different levels of security, and you can put on the prison grounds, beside what's in the prison, you can put another, what, 10, 20, 30,000 people out on the grounds. high school gymnasiums, sports stadiums, all of this stuff is part of the plan and has been written down and discussed and all of it for a long period of time. So you better get ready. You better get ready to defend yourself, your family, to stand for Lord Jesus, to stand against anybody who comes to take your freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, who wants to come and take your guns. Well, let me tell you something. Don't allow it. Stand to them. Do what I read to you again the other night. Remember what I read to you from Solzhenitsyn? What he said that they dreamed about in the camps after they got taken? Or that during periods of mass arrest, for example, in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city. Well, Leningrad was about, I think in those days, maybe half a million people or something like that, maybe a million. So they arrested probably 100,000 people. And he said if people would simply not sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door, at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose, and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was to hand. And heaven forbid if you had some old, M1s, or you had some old M4s, or you had a few of them old Mac 90s or MIDs or whatever, with them 30-round mags. And if you had some good old boys who were expert deer hunters and long-range iron sight shooters who now had real good optics and were sitting on 338 Lapuas like old Mickey Lapua I know does. Well, you can't get the cheap 50s, but you can get a 338 Lapua, and that will do some damage to automobiles and such, will it not? And personnel at a distance. And you put a few boys up in the trees and a few on the hilltops, you know? And then you got your stuff set. You got your barrage balloons. That's the King Kong or the Godzilla or the Superman balloon like your car dealer flies over it in the summertime for the grand opening or the special sale. Or maybe you just get some old dirigibles or some old weather balloons. 10, 12 of them things. You put a steel cable on them. You cut them to the side of your hillsides. You're going to lure people into the holler. They come on in tentatively, you know, and they're formation or maybe in their little helicopter or something. And then all of a sudden you cut loose and you lift them barrage balloons back up and you put 1,000 drones in the air and you release the pigeons, you know, and a bunch of birds. And what do you know? All of a sudden rotors and propellers and jet engines get blocked, don't they? And then stuff starts to fall from the ground, you know? Some people out there are smart enough to even get them old hot dog cookers, them old radar range hot dog cookers from back in the old days, the ones with more power. Because you see, one of the old things that an old master sergeant in the Army told me about was that he was told years ago, that in a certain third world country where they were worried about U.S. coming in and that kind of stuff, well, the Russians told them to take the front doors off them radar ranges and point them up in the air, you know. Now, all of this stuff is just speculation. It's just discussion. And it's discussion of history and what's happened. It's not being advocated, but I'm just trying to tell you this thing is, it's going to be something that the Lord has told you in the red letter edition. In Matthew 24, he tells you that if the time were not short for the elect, there'd be no flesh left alive on the planet. So I'm going to tell you, you don't think this is real here? Got just a short time. Executive order, January 11th, 2010. Office of the White House Press Secretary for immediate release. This is from Barack Hussein Obama. And I wrote this up the day after this as a hawk talon that Steve Quayle put at stevequayle.com in those days. I don't think it's still up there. And it was called New Executive Order Signed by Obama Effectively Creates Structure of Military Governors for Martial Law. January 12, 2010, hawk. I said, one must read this closely, but when it dawns on you that the 10 governors that are to be appointed by the president will perhaps soon correspond to the 10 FEMA regions and effectively then will be under the Secretary of Defense and hence the president in a system of regional military governors over all states, not just the states that maybe one or two of the governors might be from, then you might just experience a chill up your spine. I said at the time, read carefully Section 2 functions of this executive order, and you will clearly see, especially in Item E, which has language sufficiently broad and loose that a tank battalion could be driven through it. So special functions, Section 2, well, the Council of Governors should be established. Council of Governors shall consist of 10 state governors appointed by the president. That doesn't mean that it's the current governor of the state, people, of whom no more than 5 shall be of the same political party. The term of service for each member appointed to serve in the council shall be 2 years, but a member may be reappointed for additional terms. So in other words, as long as the president wants you. The president shall designate 2 members who shall not be members of the same political party to serve as co-chairs of the council. And the functions, the council shall meet at the call of the Secretary of Defense or the co-chairs of the council. Okay? Don't go into their Luciferian knife without a fight. Stand up for the Lord Jesus. Stand against evil. This kind of stuff is going to come down the road. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology and your spacecraft to strike blows against the Luciferian. And ladies and gentlemen, watch the Mimic, the MIMIC, University of Wisconsin, because massive energy is coming out of the Arctic, either from the Russians or fallen angels. It's coming down to hit the Puerto Rican trench and into South America, and it's coming down into the Philippines, that trench, and on down into Australia and on to Antarctica. Something big is going on. Fandango Rizzo, I know you're ready, and old Mickey LaPoop. Squeeze that trigger, Mickey, don't jerk. Good night.